Good morning, Mother Earth. Thank you for all your abundant gifts. Good morning, Father Sun. Thank you for feeding all living things on Earth. Thank you, Plant Kingdom. Thank you, trees and plants, for converting the sun's light into edible foods that we can consume and digest, and for providing oxygen in the air that we breathe. Good morning, water. Thank you for being 75% of our body. We are one, and we bless you and protect you because we cannot live without you. Good morning, Animal Kingdom. Thank you for your companionship, your beauty and splendor, and for your sacrifice of life so that we may eat and live. Thank you, Great Spirit that moves in all things. Thank you for our lives and for the opportunity to be here and to be of service in this sacred earth garden of life. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Hello and welcome to Shaman's Keep. This is Caroline Wise King, your host, and it's a pleasure to be with you today. We have a wonderful guest, Brooke Medicine Eagle. She's been with us before. If you remember, she's an American Native Earth Keeper, Earth Wisdom Teacher, Visionary, Sacred Ecologist, Songwriter, Singer, Recording Artist, and Catalyst for Healing. She's dedicated her life to bringing forward the ancient truths concerning how to live a fully human life and sustain harmony with all our relations. So, Brooke, welcome to Shaman's Keep. It's a pleasure to have you back with us.
Oh, thank you for having me, and I'm really thrilled to be with your listeners. It's a wonderful time in the world, and I'm just really thrilled to be here.
Well, it's an exciting time. We know we're in for some big changes, but I think we came in for the big show, didn't we?
Well, you know, an interesting thing, if I can share this, one time we were talking about, we were talking about who we are as people, and my teacher said, well, the greatest, most amazing, enormous, old, wise souls are required right now for the earth, and that's one of the reasons you came in, and the other is that, you know, those great and fine souls are sort of arm wrestling to get to earth, because right now, if you act in a positive way, in a powerful way, in a good way, there's such an acceleration of energy that you clear up eons of karma by really stepping forward in a good way in this life. So, you know, we're the ones. We came in. We're the high souls. And no matter what we look like on the surface, we are those amazing beings that, you know, we're the ones that we called up to do the work.
I believe that. I know that we came for a specific purpose. I know this is a time where we're cleaning up all our past life karma. More and more as I journey for people, I'm doing journeys that involve clearing up karma from so many things, relationships, all kinds of problems they've had. And it's like we're just cleaning up our acts and getting ready for a great new world that's coming in. And I do believe that that's what's happening. All this turmoil and all this stuff that's going on around the earth, I believe we're in its labor pains. We're birthing a new world. What do you think about that?
I think so. I really think that's right. And the whole idea of clearing is really what's on my mind when I ask Spirit what was to be shared today. That really is it. And it makes me think of a song, Hantio, clear the way. With pure intent, I make my way. Hantio, clear the way. With pure intent, I make my way. Hantio. And I really do think that that's exactly where we are, because I think one of the things, it's easy maybe to be a little bit down and feel challenged around this time, but, you know, I think the thing we know again and again and that we've learned is that, you know, to pay attention to the uplifting news in a sense and to focus our energy. And I believe the correct focus right now is on clearing. You know, we're really being asked to, in a sense, move past the world of form. I'm probably talking to a lot of people my age, and certainly a lot of younger people. But I feel like the younger people, the children, you know, the young ones, are leading us into an understanding that it's the world of energy. It's the inner world where we need to work. And like you're saying, I too am doing those kind of shamanic and energetic clearings that are about cleaning out the old and the unworkable. Because I was told in 1984 that all we need to do is clear things out, you know, clear the old, because the new is coming in. Mm-hmm. You know, at the center of the universe, a great gong was struck, a new note has sounded, a new song is being sung. And if we can just, go to the West is the way that my people talk about it, go to the West and empty your arms, let go, clear, you know, let the leaves fall, let the old pass. Then take that quiet time and open our intent. Then we have open arms and empty arms, in a sense, to receive this new that is coming in and learn to sing the song of life that's being given us, which is a really different song. It's a song of harmony and beauty and sweetness. And so we're being asked to sing that song rather than hang on to our old, it's hard and it's tough and I've got to work to be secure and, you know, everything's maybe not going to be okay. And instead, it's a celebration of life that we're being asked to offer right now.
Yes, that's what I'm hearing, too. It's not a work song. It's a lilting, joyful song, and it's about love and forgiveness and praising everything around us, and most of all, really recognizing Mother Earth, that we come from the earth. What happens to the earth happens to us. And so, you know, what you're talking about clearing, it's true. If we can cleanse our bodies and all, then we become more and more aware of the need to take care of Mother Earth, because we have certainly dumped a lot of bad stuff into the waterways and everything. And there's a Native American saying that Mother Earth is our flesh, the rocks our bones, the rivers are the blood in our veins. And we definitely have to clean up those rivers and take care of Mother Earth again.
You know what? I think people thought that was a metaphor. But it's just absolute straight-out truth. You know, that people talk about ecology, and I think about sacred ecology, and the remembering that really the air out there, you know, the wind, the air is the breath of my body. What the quality of it is the quality of my breath. The rivers and what's going on with them, that is the water of my life. You know, it is in me. It's not just outside of me. And that's the exciting thing, I think, is that whole, you know, Native people for sure, and I believe it's the basis of every deep spirituality, we really understand the oneness. It's like what White Buffalo Woman says, you know, whatever you do to any other thing or being in the whole circle of life, you do to yourself, for we are in fact one being. And I think recognize that oneness is very, very powerful, because not only do we recognize that what we do in a negative way to something, you know, is we're doing it to ourselves, but also what we do in a positive way. And another piece of that is when we recognize the oneness, we realize we're in tune with all time, all space, all information, all knowledge, all wisdom. And that as we clear away the old gunk and clear our eyes and, you know, wipe away the dirt on the windshield, that we really have access to enormous possibilities and ways of healing and cleansing things. And you're so right about the earth. I'm excited about this new time. I feel like we're starting to wake up. I mean, you know, we're teetering on the edge. I think that it's really interesting that we humans have to do that. That's not a fun game, I don't think. But somehow we seem to need to push ourselves to the edge to get ourselves to move to the next level. And we're really understanding that next level is an energetic process, that the energy, the vision, the dream, the internal clarity has to come first, and then we can manifest that outwardly. And that, you know, it needs to be manifested outwardly. It definitely does. So that inner work and getting clear, I think about I was doing a a teaching one time, and I spent the whole weekend with these folks, and I talked to them about a positive intent, because we were going to, what we did is we did a ceremony, and everyone got to step up into the center where we'd created enormous positive energy, just in like a vacuum to fill with all our dreams and wishes. And I reminded them to phrase it positively, to ask for what, you know, to make whatever it was, to make it positive. And I was totally blown away when one gal walks up and she says, "Great Spirit, don't let the children be raped and beaten and abused and all these horrible things. Don't let that happen." And what she was energizing was all of that. Every word she spoke was energized. And it was so profound for all of us to hear that and to realize, wow, you know, you need to ask for a safe, happy, joyous, loving, self-fulfilling, glorious world for the children, not the other. So, you know, how we approach our world, how we approach ceremony, you know, that inner clarity is so profoundly important. And I've really been paying attention recently to a lot of the ways of doing that inner clearing, and it's exciting. These new ones are pretty amazing. You know, back in the early 80s, we were told that there was a violet flame of freedom coming in to the auric field of the new people coming onto Earth. And as of 2005, the Mayans say that the first fully human beings will be born on Earth, which means that full connection with the oneness and with the heart of love, which is what we're about. And I feel like these younger people are able to express some of these things. They understand that the world is energy and that there's, in a sense, big magic afoot, but it seems more just more simple and real to them. So I've really been listening and paying attention to some of these younger people who are really tuned in to find out more and more about the whole thing of clearing ourselves and releasing. Because one of the things that I think we think about is we have an old idea that, I know for me, I thought, my gosh, I'm getting to some of the deepest, oldest, gunkiest, thickest, blackest stuff that was kind of buried deep down in me from ages ago, you know, from my early life, where there was a lot of violence and all that kind of thing. And I always thought it would be terribly hard to clear that. I mean, gosh, I've been doing it for, you know, decades, right? So it must be hard to clear. But what I was told is no, change that way of thinking, because for one thing, the Mother Earth and all our relations are so wanting to have things clear so that we can travel on with the Earth. So there's all this energy that's positive wanting us to clear, so there's all the support for our clearing. And the other thing is the reminder that when we tie up energy in negativity or tie up energy in the negative, polluting, nuclear waste kind of things on the Earth, that energy wants to be free to become, all energy wants to move toward the light, toward love, toward light, toward positivity. Mm-hmm. And that the literally the energies themselves, let's say of some old fear or darkness in myself, that energy can't wait to get free after all of these years and to just go free and dancing and go toward the light and go into the central sun and feel that love and light and then be sent back onto Earth in this amazing solar age. You know, we're in the solar age. The October 11th or so, I think, was when we, you know, actually on the calendar moved into this new age of love and light. And I think that December 21st is going to be about, it's like the, we're being set up, you know, the energy is kind of being wiggled around and we're being set up. It's like you kind of get a mold ready so that things can be pouring in. And I believe that December 21st is when we're getting this incredible inpouring of love and light. And our molds, in a sense, will be ready for that, to hold that and to bring that in and to be able to hold it in our bodies and manifest it. So December 21st is just such a celebration and a time of joy. I think we can really say we are here in this new time, and we can celebrate and dance and sing and bring in we are creators. We are creator beings, and we can bring in what we want and certainly bring in what we want for the earth.
Yes, and like you, I'm seeing in the young people coming in today such a different viewpoint about life and what's important, what their priorities are. Not just the babies, but the young people in their 20s, they have a completely different take. And the ones that are waking up so rapidly. I have seen people just have enormous transformations in 2 or 3 years. You know what took you and I maybe 20 years to get? They're getting it in 2 years now. And it's just amazing. So there are going to be some very positive changes in the future with the outlook of the new people that are coming in.
Well, it certainly is exciting because a lot of these people realize that when, you know, what I'm really learning, and the wonderful thing is you can pick up this vibration, all the higher vibrations, they're contagious. We can pick them up by being around them and pulling them and calling them to ourselves. And because our whole beingness wants to go there, wants to go to that next level. And it's a matter of letting that flow in and allowing that. And so I've was shown a vision a long time ago that some of these little children, it was a vision of me standing with these little children. I mean, little guys, you know, they were 2, 3, 4, 5 years old. And I know I was, you know, kind of hands on knees leaning down to see what in the world they were doing. And what I understood is they were able, through their intent and through their magic, to lift things, shift things, move things, and very specifically, they were destructuring nuclear waste.
Oh, wow.
They were able to understand that there's a certain way that's bonded, you know, a certain way that those molecules and all of that are bonded, and electromagnetically and intentionally and all of that, we have the power to unbond those things, and that there would be a clearing, just unbelievable. So what's so exciting, what's exciting to me, and I think it's so worth doing to clear all this stuff. You know, it's like, yeah, we got to face all this stuff, but I feel like bring it up, acknowledge it, and clear it. You don't have to wait around in 20 years of right of therapy. And the exciting thing is that we have this amazing world coming. You know, we get to play in this amazing world now. And so why not get rid of this stuff? Just let it go, you know. And one of the things that we can do is really center ourselves, really feel the light, make that connection with the spirit, light, Viracocha, you know, Wakantanka, the great energy that gives life and vital life and awareness to us, and then connect deep in the Mother Earth and that loving, holding, wonderful earth form, joyous energy, and stand in the center of those. And when we get ourselves a bit centered, then call up these energies and say, gone. Uncreate. Some of these young people use the computer language. Delete, uncreate, destory. Take the story out of it. You know, clear, blow up, let go the old stuff, and don't even spend a lot of time with it. Don't go, oh, my God, there it is again. I don't think I'll ever get rid of it. Oh, I'm sick. I just hate this when it comes up. It's like all of that is just giving it energy. You go, that old thing. Okay, I'm going to get centered, get totally centered here, take a moment to get centered, and then whatever's connected with this, all time, all space, all beings, all of my life, all my history, all of that, clear and delete all of that. Let it go. Yes. Unstory it. It's not my story anymore.
And, yes, we are, you know, definitely at a time of letting go of all the stuff we don't really need and all the stuff that has hampered us and held us down and stopped our spiritual growth. And, of course, I heard an interesting thing about what a curse is. And a curse is actually like the opposite of a blessing. And every time you say something like, oh, I can't do that, or I'm not good enough, or Gosh, that's beyond me. You have cursed yourself. You have actually,
exactly,
with your words, cursed yourself. And so, but a blessing would be to say, I am one with the Spirit, and the Spirit is all wise and all knowing and all love and all forgiveness and joy and peace. I am one with that power and that energy, and I'm going to let that flow mm-hmm. through me. And
that melts all that darkness. You know, it just can't stand up in the face of love and light. Just can't.
Absolutely.
You know, I think you're so right. It's very, very interesting what you're saying, because I did a shamanic clearing class, and they talked about, yeah, we need to get rid of entities and any bad energy from anyone else and any old cords and all that stuff. But they said, you know, one of the main things you need to clear is your own self-talk. So I think it's so wonderful that you brought that up. It's that those old stories, that old way of putting yourself down or carrying those old stories, those old negative, disempowering, harsh kind of ways, carrying those inside ourselves is a part of the black magic.
Mm-hmm. You know, it brings to my mind the Great Spirit prayer. There's a place in that prayer where it says, give me strength not to be superior to my brothers and sisters, but give me strength to fight my greatest enemy, myself. And that is a prayer that we could definitely, everybody should say and pay attention to those words, because we often are our worst enemy. And, you know, we're reaching a point now where it used to be like 10 years ago, we were saying, oh, watch your words, you're creating your world with your words. And now I'm finding we're creating it with our thoughts. You know, now it's not even, doesn't even have to be put into words. So we have to watch our thoughts too. And that's part of what all this clearing and cleansing is that we're doing, is beginning to really pay attention to how we think and how we respond to things in our minds, you know, because we have to be true to ourselves. We have to be honest with ourselves, and we have to really pay attention to how we're thinking and how we're acting and how we respond to people before a word has ever left our lips, you know. And so It's like somebody said, it's in the details. Well, we're getting down to the detail work now. It's in the thoughts.
Right. And, you know, the thing I think, too, is the old form is that, about enemies and about, you know, fighting and struggle. And I'm really so clear these days that, just to embrace, embrace those parts of ourselves and go, oh, my old self didn't know any better. It was, you know, I was trying so hard, and it was wonderful and good, and I'm just letting that go. You know, I don't have to fight. I don't have to struggle. I just need to be aware and choose. Be aware and choose.
Yes.
Be aware, clear, choose. Aware, clear, choose. Aware, clear, choose. I just feel like that could be our mantra.
Yes, I think we're coming to terms with loving ourselves like we are, whether we're tall, short, fat, thin, whatever color we are, whatever culture we come from, we're finally facing the fact that we are original medicine, each one of us, and that we need to love ourselves just like we are. And that as we love ourselves, we also love our Mother Earth. Because when I think of Mother Earth, I think of my own mother that, bless her heart, is no longer with us on this plane, but she was my best friend and my dearest confidant, and we had so much fun laughing together. But when I think of the earth, I think of her like I think of my mother. And we need to be able to laugh with Mother Earth again, and we need to be able to hug her and caress her and praise her and thank her for all the abundance that she gives us. And this is something that I want to see people beginning to come back to, is that love and reverence for our Mother Earth.
You know, that is so true. And I think as we can really have that personal feeling about her, I just feel like it's so important for people to get out in the most natural setting they can get as often as they can get, you know, to get into the sunlight and flush their body with that and bring that through. And
yes.
to really walk on the earth, lay on the earth, be out there, look at the fall leaves changing, you know, really honor the earth. I think there's a big challenge these days with how much we're inside, how much even children, you know. In the old days, kids would be out throwing leaves around and jumping around in the falling leaves, and now they're in on the computer, you know, looking at falling leaf pictures. And I think
yes.
it's so important that we get outside. I mean, there's just nothing like, you know, the smell and the sound and the wind and the light and the, you know, the feeling of being on the earth. There's a lot of work out now that says Native American people were very smart because there's enormous healing comes from putting our feet on the ground. I mean, actual, you know, bare feet, not rubber soles, but the energy of the earth coming
yes.
up through our bodies is so healing. And I think that goes in reverse as well. When we have wonderful energy, just sending such love to the earth and giving thanks and being grateful and honoring her and being thrilled that she's stepping up out of a place of, you know, being a school for destruction and all of those lower dimension energies. And, you know, she's stepping up. She gets to graduate. She's going to be she is now, I think, a place of love and light and abundance and clarity and wholeness. You know, it's the Garden of Eden. She gets to be that. I mean, what a joy for her. And we just need to lift ourselves into the place where we're worthy to be in that garden. And that's why we're getting such wonderful help to clear all the old gunk and just lovingly clear it, laughingly clear it. Private mentoring, and one of my gals, who's just this lovely gal, I said something, and we got the funny how funny it was. We spent 10 minutes of our session absolutely. I was rolling on the floor laughing, and she was too. We were just giggling and laughing and uncontrollably laughing at the craziness of this thing. And I said, you know, that's probably the best 10 minutes we ever spent in our therapy. Was just to laugh, and that kind of laughter clears the mind and clears the nervous system and opens it up to possibility. And you know what a wonderful thing for us to do, to be out playing in the leaves and laughing and enjoying. And it doesn't mean that we don't acknowledge things, you know, that we don't. I think it's really important to see what's there. And yet to say, instead of, you know, oh, how horrible it is, to say, you know, and here's another clue for people, I think. Open-ended questions are so powerful. Instead of saying, I see the earth healed, somehow there's a kind of a deadness to that. If you say, oh, I wonder exactly how it's going to feel when the earth is so light and clean. I'm so curious about mm-hmm. how it will actually be, how the light will be and how the air will be. And I wonder what step I can take. I wonder what the next step for me is to make a difference. I wonder those kind of things where, mm-hmm. you know, if I could see what it would be like, what would it look like? And, I wonder what it would feel like, and how can I add value right
yes.
now? How can I offer something, you know, right now? What can I do? And certainly in every moment we can offer our love and gratitude and thanksgiving and our connection, you know, our honest connection. And then there are bigger things we can do as well. But I think the feeling of connection to Mother Earth, to really understand that, you know, to feel our bond with the earth. And I think there's a little bit of, I don't know whether you call it work or whatever, but it's some attention needs to be paid to that, because we were told by our wonderful teachers that when many children were birthed through mothers that were drugged, you know, taken away from their mother immediately rather than to her breast to get that connection and feeling of bonding and holding and nursing and wholeness and that heartbeat, you know, that was right there just beating and,
yes.
oh, yes, that's my mom and I'm safe and everything's fine and I'm connected. And then dad comes in and there's that loving bond and those arms around you and the whole, you know, all of that is literally our then metaphorical connection to the Mother Earth and to Father Spirit, I think. And it's been really hard in some ways for people because it kind of creates this as a little bit of sociopaths, you know, where if we aren't bonded, if we don't feel that connection, then it's not so easy to do something positive or to be aware of what's going on or to be able to get a hold of that sense of things. So I think the more we can get out there barefoot and or, you know, get out and cross-country ski, whatever, you know, breathe that air, be out, be on the land, be in the sunshine, and really
yes.
lay there on the, I think, a wonderful exercise. Better get it done before long because in a lot of places it's getting cooler, but go out there and lay on the Mother Earth. Spread your arms out, spread eagle, and just lay there and smell the smells of the grass and let the feeling, you know, the connection, the heart connection happen. And then we can take whatever action we might take. I know one of the interesting things that I have learned recently comes out of the Hawaiian tradition, the Ho'oponopono work, is one of the things that's the saddest to me is, like, I have a real love for the polar bears. And, you know, I've seen some of these movies where these big polar bears are out there and the ice is so thin, they try to get up on it and they try to get up on it and they try to get up on it and they swim and swim and they finally drown. Because they, you know, their home is being changed. They don't have what they need. The ice is not there and all of that. And it just tears at my heart to see that. And I go, well, what can I do? You know, I can do lots of small things. But one thing I love about the whole Ho'oponopono work is I can say, you know, I take responsibility for that in my life. I'm sorry that that I somehow hold that as a part of the world I'm in. And I ask forgiveness. I ask forgiveness inside myself. I ask forgiveness, which means letting go, clearing, clear the decks. I ask for that to be cleared, whatever that energy is. I ask that it be cleared and, you know, deleted, that story
and
cleared away.
Transmuted into
yeah,
love and light.
Yeah, that whole thing. Yeah. So, you know,
yes.
I'm sorry, please forgive, clear this, and then that sense of I love you world, I love you polar bears, I love you creator, I love you earth, and thank you so much. I have so much gratitude for the opportunity to be here now. So those four steps seem so simple, and yet I think they're enormously powerful, because at any moment when anything's going on, I believe that simple kind of thing is a way we can actually take action. It's just this moment. It took me 2 minutes to say that and think it and do it inside myself. But I did something, and then that opens the way for the next thing. You know, maybe I write out a check to the Environmental Defense Fund or talk to my senators about it or, you know, whatever I might do. But that beginning of feeling empowered to take action and clear those negative energies is a first step, you know.
Yes, and I agree, because I think we have to begin to see the earth healed instead of praying for the earth to be healed as something that's going to happen in the future. We have to start accepting that the earth is healed, that it is being healed and is healed, and giving thanks that the earth is healing and healed, because that's the only way we can create that vision for the future, that the earth is healed, and see the beautiful, clear, crystal clear waters, and see the flourishing forest and all the wildlife and everything rejoicing. I love what you said about laughing so hard with that person you were mentoring, because I came across a wonderful saying years ago by, he was actually, I think, a Franciscan priest, Teilhard de Chardin. He said, joy is the infallible proof of the presence of God. And I've
oh,
noticed
how wonderful.
That. Yeah, isn't it wonderful? And I use that as my thermometer with people. If they're joyful, I know they have a good heart and a kind heart, and that they're close to the spirit. If they're frowning and angry with the world, I know that somehow they've been cut off and they've lost their joy. And the worst thing that can happen to anyone is to lose their joy. You lose your joy, and there's no meaning to anything, you know? And what you were talking about, how getting onto the earth, touching the earth, there's actually an energy, a power that radiates from the earth and radiates to us and all living things. But in our society, we've cut ourselves off from it by wearing shoes that don't allow that radiation to come through, and by being indoors so much of the time that we're not even hardly aware that Mother Nature's out there. We've lost our connection with nature. But there have been tests done that show that a lot of what people are experiencing as stress and what they're going to doctors for and getting tranquilizers for would be eliminated if they would go out and reconnect with the earth. When they're feeling stressed, if they would take their shoes off and go outside and stand in the dirt and just allow that energy to come up into them again and sit down on the dirt, sit with a tree and just allow that energy to come back into them and rejuvenate them and remind them that they are one with the earth.
That is so exactly true, and I love it. Now, well, one of the fun things about our life and what's going on right now is that the sciences are really proving and showing that a lot of these old traditions, a lot of the old, you know, spiritual metaphors, if you will, all of these things, you know, they aren't just metaphors, they're the truth, you know, all the you know, unlimited field theories and all of that kind of thing now are honoring and acknowledging the oneness of everything, and that everything affects everything. And like you say, there are actual factual studies now that really make total sense of that way of being that keeps us connected. I think of a story, someone said, a fellow kind of smarty guy was talking to an old Indian guy, and he said, excuse me, he said, well, if you're so darn smart, why didn't you, you know, invent and use the wheel? He said, everything's in circles, right? You know, Black Elk says everything's in a circle, and the sun and the teepee and our life is a circle, and our on and on and all these circles. And he said, if you're so smart, why didn't you invent the wheel then? And this old Indian man looked at him and said, you know, we understood about the wheel and all of that. But he said, what we felt is that when you start to lift yourself up off the earth that way and take yourself away from the earth and move fast and all of those kind of things, that you actually become less human. And he said, we wanted our children to remain fully human.
Oh, how wonderful.
And, you know, yes, and now because science is saying, yep, he was right. And
yes.
I just think that the big, as we can cut loose of the sort of the, I do believe that the big corporate hold on things is being shaken loose. I do think
yes.
that, you know, it's struggling and trying its best, but as each of us pulls our energy out of that and is willing to live our lives with truth and integrity and not buy into all the consumer game and all of that, that, you know, that mm-hmm. will shake loose of that, and that pretty soon what will be realized is that businesses that support life, that support the things that work, that I think we'll work less, we'll enjoy more, we'll have our feet on the ground more, we'll have more picnics, we'll have more joy, and we'll have plenty. We don't have to struggle and push and shove and have so much stuff. We've been given the lie, my friend Lynn Twist says, we've been given the lie of scarcity, and you know, that there's maybe not enough, and there isn't enough, and I need more kind of thing. And if we can just sit ourselves down and touch in and feel the beauty of what's around us and all the possibility and how much richness pours in when we can open up our hearts and how wonderful it is to have good relationships and a clear stream and a clear sky, how important that is, and to really be in gratitude for all that's here instead of, you know, that sense of scarcity, and you've always got to have more, and the only way that our nation is doing well is if it has a big sales and big gross national product. I really love those countries that, you know, consider their national health to be, you know, how happy the people are, how healthy they are. That's what's the wealth of
yes.
a place. And I do believe we're shifting to that. I mean, here we're just babies, though. You know, what's really exciting is that we're just the barest babies in this new time. I mean, what, 2 or 3 months in a millennium? I mean, we're just barely tipping over into this new time, and yet I see more and more and more and more and more expression of the new possibilities. And so I think it's time to get excited and go, you know, I don't know exactly how this is going to work out, but I'm sure curious to see it. I'm holding a vision of something so fun and so happy and so abundant and so sweet, and I'm just excited.
And so free. Yes, and so free, Brooke, because you know what's happened? We fell into a trap. I call it a trap because we thought we were – that was a time we thought that big was better, that the bigger the house, the bigger the job title, the bigger the car, the bigger everything was better. And we worked and worked and worked to accumulate all these things. And now we wake up and we discover that – we don't own these things. They own us. We are indebted to our eyeballs with, you know, with credit cards and even our national debt to the world. I mean, it's just hard to even comprehend. And everybody is now working for their house, their car, and all that stuff that they accumulated and thought they couldn't live without. Well, they're just working to pay for all that stuff. And so they're owned. I mean, they gave up their soul practically because now their whole life is taken with working to pay for all this stuff. And,
it's a trap. One of the things I am really understanding, I have a place here that I should say just an acre and a half, but when I have to handle all this and every tree and every bush and every blade of grass and every tree and every apple and every, the more things there are, the more things that, you know, it takes up our life. And they may be even positive things, but, you know, stuff takes up time and life energy. And I think more and more we'll learn to have less and enjoy more and allow the natural cycles to... I mean, so interesting. I think about Native people. My Native people were nomads, you know, and we let the Great Spirit take care of the buffalo.
Yes, they were free.
Out there. We had to find them. But then, you know, my family were ranchers. And so here we are. We're so dumb now that we put them in pens. We have to work on them, do this, do that, move them, shift them, feed them, babysit them. And it ties up our life when, hey, Great Spirit gave us these wild, free, wonderful things just in absolute millions. And we were so foolish that to, quote, conquer this land, the white men, killed all those buffalo and brought in cattle. I mean, it's just so crazy. And I think there are so many places in our lives that we do that kind of thing. We just create burden for ourselves rather than freedom.
Yes, the way Native Americans lived was very free, and you just moved and followed the herds or went where you wanted to go, and you didn't saddle yourself down with tons of possessions. That if you want to move, you're like, oh my God, I can't move. I've got to sell the house. I've got to decide what I want to take with me and what to do with all this stuff. And, it's a major process to do any of those things. And I think people are beginning to be aware that it would be kind of nice to be free and to not have all this baggage to lug around with us that we've accumulated.
And one of the things I think we're going to get to that I'm excited about inside myself as well as for everyone else is that I think that when we get that we are absolute creator beings and that we have the ability to create what we need when we need it and really get that practice, you know, learn how much more to manifest things, then we won't have to have so much because we'll know that we can create it and bring it up and it'll be there when we need it. And it's not like we have to store away or, you know, have $100 million in the bank, and not let everyone else eat because we think we might need the $100 million sometime. We'll go,
yes.
Oh, come on, feed everybody. Come on. What? Why would I keep that? I can have as much as I need when I need it.
Yeah,
and
isn't that kind
of... I think that we will really, really make a different world when we understand that we can create what we need. I think that, you know, we're really learning a lot in this time about how to manifest our desires and that we can, you know, the old way is, oh, we got to work hard and we got to push and shove a lot of physical stuff around and it's tough and there's a lot of time and there are a lot of processes in it. And I think that we're going to understand that we create a desire, we create this intensity, we get it in that sweet spot that feels so wonderful. We can just feel it present and, you know, release it to the universe, and that things will come very much more quickly when we don't fill the space in between with all the stuff to do and stuff we need and then stuff you got to fix up and then you got to do this and then that step and you got to do all of that. When we can clear the space and hold something out there and just walk into it in our vision, then things happen much, much, much more quickly. So it's exciting that we're learning more and more about manifesting through our feeling and our excitement and our joy and our positive energy, you know, bringing things to us. You know, I just hear more and more and more and more and more stories about how, you know, when someone sets those intentions and doesn't have a lot of blocks and old stories in the way, that things just come around in this amazing way. I mean, one thing I want to share just quickly is I had thought that I needed more housing here for my people that come in the summer. A lot of young people come and help me, which I invite people to get a hold of me about that for next summer. But I was thinking that's what I needed. I was thinking of a structure, and then I thought, you know what? I just wanted a teepee. I'm not going to create this little structure thing because I don't want anything more like that on my property. So I'm just going to buy a teepee. If I was going to make a structure, I've definitely got enough money to buy a teepee. And so I just went, you know, that's what I'm going to do. And do you know that 2 days later, a friend of mine, I never said the word teepee. We weren't even talking about that. We were just visiting and happy and talking. And she said, You know what? I just remember this. I've got a teepee I'm going to give you. She said, I bought it when I moved out of my big home. You know, I had it when I moved out of my big home. I had never set it up. It's total. She said, it's yours. I said, oh, my gosh, I'll pay for the shipping. Wow. She said, oh, no, I'll ship it. She sent me a new teepee. And the thing is, amazing. I realized it was so good for me because I realized what it felt like. Because I think that I come out of a background of not having a lot of money in my life. You know, we were relatively poor folks. Mm-hmm. And I think that there's always consideration. I think, well, I'll make that happen. And then, whoop, up comes this little consideration about money. But in that situation, I kind of already allocated the money. So when I said, I'll get a teepee, there was no question. I mean, I didn't say, oh, when I get the money, or, oh, gee, that'll be expensive, or, oh, I don't know. You know, should I do that financially? It was totally clear when I wanted that, and boom, I swear, I got to literally put out my hand, and in it came. And I think that sweet spot, you know, where we're in that clear place, and that's part of the whole process of clearing, is getting rid of the gunk, all those old stories about how hard it has to be and how Tom Kenyon, a wonderful sound healer, was talking about, he brought something through from the Hathors, the Egyptian goddess teachers that he has in spirit, and he talks about something called the sphere of all possibilities. And he said, when you're manifesting, he said, you know, kind of get centered in your solar plexus, and then imagine this enormous circle around you, and get it as big as you can, and bigger, and, you know, take in as much of the universe as you can. And I think of that as White Buffalo Woman's womb, of, you know, all the possibilities, that feminine womb of all possibilities, all the stars, because I can get my circle bigger than the stars, you know, because I look up and go, those are all the possibilities. And what he said is, the bigger we can get that sphere of possibilities, the more we realize that there's infinite possibilities in it, and we can throw out any thoughts of limitation and allow Creator, the more space we can make like that, the more we can allow Creator to play with all the infinite possibilities. And bingo, my friend Camille gives me a teepee. I'm God of the clear blue.
Amazing.
Camille was totally
amazing what
magic.
We can manifest. Yes. Brooke, we're running out of time here. And I love talking with you. We'll definitely do this again down the road. And I want to thank you for being with us today. Next week, we will have Christine Stevens with us, so please tune in for her. She wrote a book called Music Medicine. She's a music and sound therapist, Healing with Sound. And until next week, thank you for joining us. May the sun kiss your face, may the waters bless your body, and may all nature sing in your presence.